An Alabama football standout. Back in 1964, we're going to honor that team, the 50th anniversary of the 1964 National Championship team. Right now, I welcome in a defensive tackle and also SEC defensive tackle in 1964. Dan Curley, welcome to the show. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Doing fine, and it's good being with you.
Absolutely, and let me ask you, 50 years ago, we're going to honor this team, the 1964 National Championship team. I know you have to be excited to get together in Tuscaloosa with some of your teammates and watch a little Alabama football and go back and talk about the past as well.
It's going to be a great time to get back with them. I know we've had two. We had one in 1974 at Cook Bryant's house that enjoyed seeing some of the old players. And then in 2004, we had a 40-year reunion. So it's I'm looking forward to this.
Well, absolutely. And I want to go back to the 1964 team. As we look at that national championship team, you were on previous teams that were also very solid. But what stood out about that 64 team that made it so special and go on to win a national title?
I think maybe the biggest thing that it was a bunch of boys with not a lot of ability, but had a lot of heart. I know that you had Namath on the team, which had all the ability of any individual, but of the others, it's made up of just mainly Alabama boys. If you notice, Coach Bryant recruited some wins in the state, and very few are out-of-state players. And most of them, like I say, did not know that it were these four- and five-star athletes, but didn't know they didn't have that ability. Coach Bryant just instilled that in them.
I want to go back to Namath for a couple of minutes. We had a chance to talk with him 3 weeks ago, and we featured him on a throwback edition of Inside the Game on a Thursday, just like we're doing here, presented by Brian Harden Construction. I go back because he was so talented, and because he was from the North, that's much different now, but it was something back then that was something I'm sure a lot of adjusting had to do. But how did you guys embrace Joe Namath?
You know, really, it was just one of the new recruits coming in. We all were nervous and scared, and he was just one of us. He had a lot more, I guess, charisma about him. He carried himself well. He had a lot of confidence in himself. Well, the rest of us were, you know, kind of nervous and hoping to make an impression and play, but he seemed like he walked in with the ability that I'm ready to go.
Now, going up against him as a defensive lineman, did you ever have a chance to hit Joe Namath in practice? I'm just sort of curious. I know that's sort of off the wall question, but it's probably like it is now. We're quarterbacks, we're no contact. But did you ever have a chance to try to go after Joe Namath and to try to lay a good hit on him?
Well, you know, just very few times. The only time I can really remember getting to take a shot at him was in the A-Day game in the spring. We were on separate teams, and I guess that's the only time I really remember ever getting to hit Joe.
Let me go back and talk about the defensive line and talk about the perspective that you have currently on Nick Saban. The defensive line seems to be playing very solid this year. They're getting after the quarterbacks. They are sacking him a few times. We've played some inferior competition, Southern Miss, Florida Atlantic, West Virginia. We're still trying to learn a lot about that team. But it seems like the current defensive line for Nick Saban and Bo Davis, who's the individual coach there, seems to be performing better than what we've expected in years past.
Yes, defensive line probably is a strong point this year of the ball club. And really, they've not come through. I'm hoping maybe with the Florida game, the little better talent, they're going to play even better. Talking about the difference when we played and when they're playing now, they're all bigger, stronger. I mean, 300 pounds on the team now, and they meet head-to-head, man. Where back we played, I guess I was one of the largest players at about 215, and we never hit man head up. We always were slanting to gaps, finessing, anything to keep away. I know when we played Oklahoma, our offensive line averaged 183 pounds, and theirs averaged well above 300. So you could not just man-to-man beat a person. And so we had a lot more stunts and finesse than what they're doing now. They're just overpowering and manhandling people nowadays.
Early in Coach Bryant's career, because the second national title would have been 1964, the 50th anniversary of that team that we'll celebrate this weekend with Namath, and there's so many legendary players that are coming back to the capstone. But I want to go back. In 1964, did you see something in Coach Bryant that he would be the winningest coach in college football? Nobody could have really projected that, but his second national title, and he was able to build off that momentum. You go through the 60s, you go through the 70s, he walks out of here winning six national titles and 13 SEC championships over the course of 25 years. Did you see something back then in 64 that told you that he was going to be a great football coach?
As a player, I don't think that you look that way that he's going to be successful or not. When I signed to go to Alabama, I knew he was success then, and he told us, if you do what I asked of you, I will make a champion of you. And I think that's what all of us were doing, was to look at that possibility of being a champion. I know when I was recruited, Coach Stallings was one that recruited me, and he came up and he showed me a ring that he received, and he said, I know you've been recruited other places, and if you go there, you'll probably get a good education. But I'll assure you, if you come to the University of Alabama, you will get a good education, and if you'll do what the coach has asked of you, you will become a champion. And so my freshman year when I came in was the 61 national championship, and then my senior year we came up national championship 64. So he was correct. And if you look, they had the championship 61, 64, 65, should have had it in 66. And just about every 4 years, he came up with the champion. He had six, I think, in 25 years.
I want to look back, and I'm just going to ask you if this is fair or not. You're an All-American at the University of Alabama, and I know you take a lot of sense of pride into what's happening here in Tuscaloosa. We didn't win the national title last year, and we finished 11-2, and it seems like it's a disappointing year, which 11-2, most universities would celebrate. And no doubt, I mean, it was a good year, but coming off of two national titles, it was a little bit what we call a down year. What type of sense of pride do you take in what's happening here in Tuscaloosa currently?
Well, when you look back and see the few years before Coach Saban came in, it was tough. You had several down seasons, and when Saban came in, Emo, he didn't just set the woods on fire that first year. He was building his process that he talks about, and that's what you have to do. You have to get your players to build in and to accept your process, and I think he's got that going. And even though he did not win the championship on a couple of years, and we all feel he should have had the chance to it, most teams would love to win 9-10 games a year, but he consistently has them in the championship race each year. So as a player, I know every player out there is given 100%. There's no one individual that wants to lose a ball game. And so he has built it into them, meet my process and win. Play it play by play. Never know what the score is, but live up to my expectations and you will be a winner.
One of the questions that never gets old, because it's a different question every single time: what did it mean to represent your state and to play for the Crimson Tide and wear that jersey that's so proud and rich in tradition that goes back to the years prior to your arrival here? What did it mean to you to wear that Crimson jersey?
Oh, it gives you all the pride in the world that you can wear that Crimson jersey and represent the state. I know when after my senior year, I went to the Jets, tried out for the Jets, and just to meet other players played for other teams, they looked up to the ones that had played for Alabama because they were in that challenge each year. You walk around the state with pride because people know you and they speak to you. They look up to you. And really, football, to me, helped me get through school my freshman year. When I was down there, my grades kind of slumped. I had to go to summer school. Last Coach Bryant can I go to summer school? He said, well, did you pass your word? And I said, no, sir. He said, well, no, I don't accept it. You just have to get it on your own. I went back, got my grades up, and went back and played. Never again did I lose the sight of getting to play for Coach Bryant and wearing that crimson jersey. And we went down there. He gave each of us a red blazer that we wore on our trips. And I kept that blazer to this day. That you have the pride that crimson is the probably the landmark of sports. And right now, anybody you mentioned, Alabama, last week I was in Seattle, Washington, and I walked across the street with an Alabama shirt on, a guy hollering Roll Tide. And I said, what do you know about Alabama? And he says, everybody knows Alabama, and they know that chicken hat. We know the bear. So you know, it just gives you pride to know everybody knows you, looks up to you.
I want you to take a minute, if you don't mind, and share a Coach Bryant story. This Thursday last week, we went back and celebrated what would have been Coach Bryant's 101st birthday, and we had clips and audio clips, and you know the way that he motivated you guys to play to another level. And it's always fun to go back and relive Coach Bryant's memories. What's that memory that you have of Coach Bryant that you could share with us tonight?
I guess the biggest memory would be my sophomore year. We were playing homecoming in Tuscaloosa, and we were playing Miami. George Myra was quarterback, and we went in. Alabama was a 30-point favorite. At halftime, the score was 3-0 Miami. And we went in the dressing room. When you usually go in the dressing room, the offensive coaches give the offense, the defensive coach give the defense, and Coach Bryant kind of walks around and looks and see what's going on. But at this time, we walked in, no one said a word. Coach Bryant came in. He had a Chesterfield cigarette in his hand. He was smoking and just stood there. And it seemed like an hour or so. And after about 15 minutes, we knocked on the door, and the fish said, Coach Bryant, it's time to be back on the field. And he walked over to the door, opened it up to her, and he said, come on, girls, let's go. And we ended up beating them 31-3, I believe. But just knowing if we lost that game, what was it going to be like on Monday? Pretty well set all off to we better win this one.
I can almost imagine that would be very powerful motivation as we relive some of the Alabama football history with an All-American back in 1964. We're going to take just a minute to honor that 1964 team on Saturday as we take on the Florida Gators, now hours away. It'll be the 50th anniversary of the 1964 National Championship team. You have been selected. You'll go out on the quad, and you'll be signing autographs from 11:30 to 12:30. Mickey Andrews, who we heard earlier, will also be the honorary captain. But I know it's going to be great when you walk inside Bryant-Denny Stadium and have a chance to celebrate that. And we look forward to welcoming you back to Tuscaloosa.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. It's going to be a wonderful experience.